Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
I began studying on the mind, and I don't know about you tonight, but every once in a while, I have problems with my mind. Every once in a while, I have problems with my mind. My mind goes everywhere, every day, and all the conductors are screaming when the paths cross. But anyway, our mind is something that we have to keep in check. And I want to think sometimes that as I get older, I get more patient. And then sometimes, Brother Brian, I think as I get older, I get less patient. And I think some things I'm more patient to, and ignorance I'm less patient to. Sometimes you might as well say, man, right here, me and Brother Mark had this discussion, probably before a lot of y'all even got out of bed this morning, but sometimes you just want to look at the people that's just being ignorant and go, what are you thinking? I mean, where's common sense in this thing? And some people in high places in our state has no common sense. But anyway, where's the common sense? And I began thinking about our mind. Here's what the Bible said in Romans chapter number 12. I want you to look at a verse right here. Romans chapter number 12, in verse number 2 says this: and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. To know and to do the perfect will of God, your mind's got to be renewed in Him. You got to be transformed and renewed in Him. Go with me to the book of Philippians. In Philippians chapter number 2, I want to read some verses, and then we're going to flip back and forth just a little bit, but I'm going to end up centering in Philippians 2. Look what he says in verse number 5 of Philippians chapter number 2. Let this mind, what we're talking about, let this mind be in you. Well, what is that mind? What mind needs to be in us? He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In other words, we can have the mind of Christ. He said, let this mind be in you that was in Christ. He goes on to say, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Lord, I love you tonight, and I pray over the next few minutes, God, that you'd help us. God, I really believe this is where you wanted us at tonight. God, I could stand up and teach a lesson on Leviticus tonight, but God, I really believe this is where you want us at. So I pray, God, that you would help me tonight to rightly divide the word of truth, and may we find help from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I read this today. It said, a letter to my sister. It said, dear C.S., I thought I'd take a few minutes to write this letter to you. I hope you are doing well. I think I'm losing my mind. The other day, I was standing at the bottom of the stairs in the house. When I thought about it, I was not sure whether I came down the stairs for something or was going up to bed. Then I was standing in front of the refrigerator. I'm not sure whether I was getting something out to eat or putting something back in. It really got bad when I found myself standing in front of the bathtub, wondering whether I would get my bath or if I had just finished the bath. Well, anyway, I'm standing at the mailbox to mail you a letter, and again, I'm mixed up. I'm not sure if I came to look in the mail or to mail a letter to you. Signed, your sister. I'm losing my mind. I don't know about you, but I have been at that very place before. When you're standing at the bottom of the steps going, what am I doing here? Why did I come here? Matter of fact, we were sitting in the chief's office today. One of our sergeants walked in and sat down, and Sergeant Hyatt looked over at us and went, why did I come in here? And I said, man, that's a sign that you're getting gold. Why did I come in here? And whenever we think about this thought of losing our mind, I'm sure that some of us would say that we have felt before in our life that we're losing our mind, that we're losing our mind. If you haven't pastored a Baptist church, or just wait a little bit longer and you'll get there one day. But when we really get to thinking about what the Bible is saying to us in Romans 12 and Philippians 2, that's exactly what it's telling us to do. It's telling us to lose our mind. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? You're talking about going crazy? No, that's not what I'm talking about. In order for us to have a mind like Christ, we have to lose our mind. We have to lose the way we think about things, the way we want to see things go, the way we want our life to transpire. And we have to come to a point in our life where we say, as Christ said, it's not my will, but thine be done. In other words, we lose our will to the will of Christ. We lose our mind to the mind of Christ. Note with me what he said again in Romans chapter number 12. He said this in verse number 2, and be not conformed. And be not conformed. Now, I find this interesting when you go to the book of 1 Peter, and I don't have this marked. If you want to flip with me, 1 Peter chapter number 1, let me read you a verse right here. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 4 says this, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. That word fashioning right there, and the word conformed in Philippians or in Romans chapter number 2 is actually the same Greek word. When you study it out, here's what it means. It means to conform one's self, one's mind or character to another's pattern. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. He said this in Romans chapter number 12, and be not conformed to this world. So what is he saying? Here's what he's saying. We don't need to conform ourselves to another's mind or to another's pattern. When we go back to Genesis chapter number 3, that's exactly what happened. You see, man was created, and you've heard me say this before, man was created in the image of God. But what happened to Eve that day? Eve was conformed to this world. In other words, Eve's mind and character took on that of another person. Satan beguiled her that day, and her mind was conformed to the world. Now, because each and every one of us is of that same bloodline, matter of fact, if we all trace our family tree back far enough, you know what? It's going to end up coming together. We're all of the same bloodline, and that's Adam and Eve today. We're all of the Adamic nature today, and because of that, we have been conformed to this world. But watch what he says. He says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed. But be transformed. I thought about that, and here's exactly, before I looked the word up, here's exactly what I thought about. I thought about when I was a little boy, and mom and daddy took me to Maxway in Yadkinville at the plaza where the Lowe's food is at now. There used to be a Maxway right there. Brother Matt, I don't know if you remember that Maxway or not, but there used to be a Maxway, and mama would take me to Maxway, and for 99 cents, you could buy a transformer in the Maxway. Now, the Matchbox cars was 69 cents. We could afford one of them, but we couldn't afford the transformer that was 99 cents. Now, I'm telling the truth, or they said we couldn't afford it. But anyway, y'all with me. But every once in a while, Brother Josh, I could get that transformer. And it would look like a car. You'd push it around. It's a little boy. You'd drive it around. And then all of a sudden, boy, you'd take that car and you would transform it into something else. And it would be somebody, or it would have a gun that come off of the arm of it. It would be transformed into something else. Here's what he says about our mind. Be not conformed to this world. Don't allow this world to overtake your mind, but transform your mind. You have the choice each day whether or not you will transform your mind. Are you with me? It all comes back on us. It's a choice that we make. Transform. Here's what it means. It means to change into another form. To change into another form. Have you ever woke up in the morning and was just mad at everybody? Have you ever got... I had a dream the other night. I've been having some bad dreams lately. I had to, and I ain't so sure it wasn't that prednisone I was on. But anyway, I had a dream the other night, and it wasn't a good dream. Miss Leslie had been a bad lady. And I woke up, and son, I'm going to tell you, when I woke up, Brother Matt, I was madder than a devil at her. Are you with me? I'm telling you, I was mad, Brother Robert. She said, did you sleep good? No. Are you? I was just mad. Anybody ever? Come on, somebody help me. You ever woke up just in a bad mood? You was just, some people's looking at spouses right now. I don't know if somebody woke up that way or not. The other morning, usually I'm a morning person. I really am. Usually I'm ready to go, man, early in the morning. It don't bother me. I like to get up. I like to see the sunrise. I like to breathe the fresh air early in the morning, man. And some around our house is just that not that much of a morning person. And I was in just a good mood, and I was sitting there drinking a cup of coffee, Brother Bry. And the girls had already been complaining about something and got Miss Leslie a little wound up. So I like to poke. Y'all, I like to stir stuff every once in a while. So Miss Leslie come walking by, and Miss Lisa, I was drinking my cup of coffee, and I said, hey, if you'll walk back in our bedroom and go over on the other side and lay down and then get back up. In other words, I said, you should have got up on the same side I got up on. That was not a good thing to say first thing in the morning. But if you ever got up and you was just ill, well, we've got a choice to make that day. Are we going to remain ill? Are we going to change our mind? Are we going to transform our mind? That's what he said. It's to change into another form. Now, I said this, and I'm headed somewhere. We was all conformed to this world by the sin of Adam and Eve, for wherefore by one man sin entered into the world. But he says this, to be transformed. In other words, to be changed into another form. Well, what did the Bible say in 2 Corinthians 5:17? Here's what he said. He said this, that we have been saved. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. Old things are passed away. All things become new. So in other words, the day we got saved, guess what happened? We got transformed. We was transformed into a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. So this mind battle that we have on a daily basis, we're not to conform to this world. We're to transform to Christ. How do we do that? Here's what he said. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, what does the word renewing mean? Here's what it means. It means a renewal, a renovation, a complete change for the better. A complete change for the better. I've given this illustration before, but I'll never forget. I was probably 13, 14 years old, and Dad said, "We're going to Gary Smith's house." And I said, "All right." So we jumped in. Back then, Dad had went to the Mitsubishi dealership, and I'll never forget this. He bought a brand new two-wheel drive standard cab, red Mitsubishi truck. And years ago, I don't even know if they make them still, but years ago he did. And we got in that little old truck. It's a 5-speed with roll-down windows and a vinyl floor in it. We got in that little truck, and we rode over to Gary Smith's house. And Daddy said, "I want you to look right there." And I said, "What am I looking at?" He said, "You don't see that prize?" And I said, "No, I see a bunch of weeds." He said, "Look at that tractor sitting in them weeds." And I thought, "I don't see no tractor in them weeds." So he walked over there, and Brother Charles, there was a Ferguson 30 sitting in them weeds. I didn't even know what a Ferguson 30 was then. But there was a Ferguson 30 sitting there, and Gary walked up there, and he said, "Boys, that thing runs good." He said, "Hook a chain to it and pull it off, and you'll see." And I thought, I didn't know what they was fixing to do. And they hooked a chain to it and took off down the driveway. And Gary was driving the truck, and Daddy was on the tractor popping the clutch on, and that thing backfired 2 or 3 times. And sure enough, it took off to running. And Daddy and him got to talking. I can't even remember, $400 or $500. And they got to talking. He said, "Well, I tell you what, I'll just buy it." And I thought, Mama is going to kill him. This is the biggest pile of junk. I mean, he had some things, but I mean, this is the biggest pile of junk. And I said, "Daddy, what are you going to do with that?" And here's what he said. He said, "I'm going to restore it. I'm going to renovate it." And I said, "You are?" And he said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, this will be interesting." And boy, he went to work on that thing. There was a guy named Bill Hester who came to our church then that taught auto body work at Forsyth Tech. And he had a big shop behind his house. We took it there. Daddy went to work on that thing. They sandblasted and worked and worked. 2 or 3 months down the road, man, they pulled that thing out of the paint bay and went to putting it all back together. Brother Charles, it looked like it was brand new. You could see yourself in it. Let me tell you what he done. He renovated it. And you know what you are every morning that you wake up? You're that old rusty, run down tractor that's sitting over in the weeds. And you got a choice of what you're going to do with your life that day. Because we're all born sinners, and we're either going to renew our mind that morning. Every day, it's something that we have to do. I'm not preaching you get saved every day. Somebody give me an amen. But we have to choose every day. He said, "We renew our mind. We renew it. We renovate it. We completely change it for the better." Here's, as I began to read Philippians chapter number 2, I began to see this in Philippians chapter number 2. To be the kind of Christian God wants us to be, we must be willing to give up our attitudes, our aspirations, and our actions so that Christ's attitude and actions may be seen through us. In other words, we're to lose our mind to have the mind of Christ. We're to lose our mind to have the mind of Christ. You're in Philippians 2, let me show it to you. It's 7:44. Give me about 10 or 15 minutes and I'll be done. Number one, look at the command. Look at the command in verse number 5. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." He is not asking us to do it. He is commanding us to do it. He is commanding, and one said this, it is in the imperative form. It means just do it. Just do it. You ever told your kids to do something and Brother DC, their response was this, "Why?" Have you ever had that before? I don't know about y'all's house, but down at our house every once in a while, that comes, "Why?" Well, and every once in a while I'll explain it, but the biggest part of the time, it's just simple. "Because I told you to." It don't matter why. You just do it. I'm the daddy here. I'm the boss. Olivia likes to think she's the boss. If you're around Olivia much, you'll hear her say, I'm the boss. It's funny. We pick on her about that. And today, I poked at her a little bit today. And I told her, I said, one bathroom's at the church is absolutely nasty and you didn't clean it. And she said, oh, yes, I did. And I said, no, you didn't. And it was fine, but I was just messing with her. And I said, no, you didn't. She said, yes, I did. I said, well, I don't care if you did. You're going to go back up there and do it again because I'm the boss. And boy, her face got red. She changed clothes. And she got almost out the door. And I said, hey, I was just picking. She said, you're going to pay my hospital bill because my respirations are up. We just do it because he said do it. The command is this. The mind of Christ is to be in us. We're not supposed to say, Lord, do you want your mind to be in me? No, we put his mind in us because he commands us to do that. He said, let this mind be in you. You and I are expected to develop the attitude and the actions that Jesus had. By virtue of the word, Christian means like Christ or Christ-like. To be called a Christian and to live anything contrary to that is to be a hypocrite. We're to have the mind of Christ. So you said, preacher, what is the mind of Christ? Well, you see the command, but watch the catalog tonight. He's going to tell us what the mind of Christ is. Let's look in what he says. Look at this. The mind of Christ is this. There's a command to have it, but here's the catalog of what it is, what must be in our life for us to lose our mind and have the mind of Christ. Look in verse number 6. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Watch this, the catalog of it, here it is. There's a selflessness. I heard 3 or 4 ums on that one. A selflessness. If we're going to have, if our mind is going to be renewed day by day, and we're going to lose our mind to have the mind of Christ, can I say this tonight? It's a command to do it. But the catalog of what Christ was, here it is. He was selfless. He was selfless. Christ was the most selfless person that's ever lived. When we think about it, Jesus, go with me in your mind, was God. Jesus was co-equal, co-eternal, co-powerful, co-existent. He and God is one. Matter of fact, he said this, John 10:30. I and my Father are one. Here's what he said in John 1:1. The beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. John 1:14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus and God was co-equal, co-existent, co-eternal, co-powerful. But verse number 7 is interesting. The Bible said, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. The form of a servant. This is an interesting verse. It is saying that Christ emptied himself. This describes the action of Christ. He emptied himself of his divine privileges, but watch this, but not of his divinity or of his deity. He was still God. I am not preaching that Jesus was not God. Jesus was still God. Somebody say amen. But what he did empty himself of was he emptied himself of his divine privileges. In other words, he says, I'm not going to take upon myself the form of God. I'm going to take upon myself the form of a servant. You know what he was saying? He was saying this, I'm going to die to myself. I am going to be selfless. I'm going to put my feelings to the side. You hear me and you hear me well. He was as much God as God is God, but he was as much man as man is man. He hurt like man. He had feelings like man. The only difference in him and man was that he never sinned. Matter of fact, the Bible even says that we don't have a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. His feelings was hurt. He cried, amen. He cried like man. Are you hearing me tonight? God incarnated into Jesus Christ was the most selfish or the most selfless person that ever lived. And if we're going to have the mind of Christ, number one tonight, we're going to have to learn to be selfless people. We live in a very selfish society. A very selfish society. It's just all about our feelings. Are you hearing me? All about our feelings. It's all about how many people, don't nobody fall out with me right here, but how many people, the first thing that they say about a church is, what does the church have to offer me? What do you have to offer the church? It's not all about you. It's not all about me. We live in a selfish society today. And the first role in us losing our mind and renewing our mind into the mind of Christ is that we lose our self. It's selflessness. Number two, watch this. Verse number 8, watch what the Bible says. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. If we're going to have the mind of Christ and our mind's going to be renewed, there has to be a selflessness. But number two, there has to be a submission. There has to be a submission. A submission. What did he say? He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Besides submitting himself to the worst demotion in history, coming from heaven to earth, Christ yielded himself to ridicule, arrest, mockery, beatings, and finally the death on the cross. If you want to know how much Jesus loves you, simply look to the cross. He gave up his throne in heaven to submit himself to the most excruciating pain that there was known to humanity at that time. Why? Because he was selfless and he was submitting himself to Christ. What caused his submission? His love. For God so loved the world. His loyalty. The Bible said, and he went a little further in Matthew chapter number 26. So if we're going to have the mind of Christ, church, if our mind's going to be renewed day by day, we have to die to self. We have to die to self. Matter of fact, Paul said it this way, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. We die to self. There is a selflessness. But then there is a submission tonight. There is a submission tonight. It's not necessarily about what we want. It's not necessarily about what we want. It's about what Christ wants. It's about what Christ... This morning, I know I already made mention of this, but this morning when Brother Jesse was doing devotions, I mean, he'd done a great job on the mind, the body, and the soul. But anyway, when he was doing devotions, he was talking about his 12-year span with Forsyth County Sheriff's Office, and he said, I really thought that's where I would be the rest of my life. He said, I was saved, and the Lord had called me to preach, and he said, I thought that was where God had placed me, that's where I could be a witness at, and that's where I would be the rest of my life. He said, I absolutely loved it. I didn't want to do anything else. He said, but the day come, God made me walk away from it to go full-time for him. And he said, there comes that time where we become submissive. And boy, how true that is tonight, that we submit to the will of God. It's not what we want. Boy, it's getting quiet tonight. It's not what I want. It's what Christ wants in me. There's selflessness. There's submission. But watch this. Boy, it's really going to get quiet on this one. But he said this in verse number 8, and being found in the fashion of man, he humbled himself. In other words, he submitted. became obedient unto death. But watch this, even the death of the cross, their sacrifice. Their sacrifice. Now it's Wednesday night and you're at church. So you need to say amen in what I'm fixing to say. Coming to church on Wednesday night is a sacrifice. It really shouldn't be. Sunday morning shouldn't. It's not a sacrifice. Sunday night's not a sacrifice. Wednesday night, revival time. It's really not a sacrifice. When we really look at what God's done for us, we understand what I'm saying. Some of you hadn't even had supper yet. Some of you left straight from work, drove as fast as you could to get here. Some of you got here early and was going to do a good deed for the church and picked up the wrong parts and had to fly back to town to get other parts and fly back to church to get here on time. I have to pick on Brother Mark a little bit on that one. But it was a sacrifice to get here. But I'm going to tell you something. Having the mind of Christ is a sacrifice. It's sacrificing our feelings. I'm going to tell them what I think. Is that what Christ would do? Is that what Christ would do? It's sacrifice tonight, church. We must learn to die to ourself. Are you with me? To die to ourself. I was talking to a guy the other day. Comes here to church faithful. I'm not going to call his name. But we was talking, and he was talking about a situation that he got in. And he didn't do nothing wrong to get in the situation. He was taking care of things and got himself into a situation. And he said, man, I had to get out of there. And let me tell you the reason he had to get out of there, because the flesh didn't want him to get out of there. You'll find yourself in situations that the flesh wants you to stay in. Immoral situations. Times when you're going to have a bad case of running your mouth when it needs to stay closed. Somebody help me right there. And the way that we get out of that is we lose our mind. We, in the right way, I said get out of it, not get in more trouble. We lose our mind. We sacrifice our feelings. We die to ourselves. Christ gave the ultimate example. He died the death of the cross. And in doing that, he was saying, Father, not my will, but thine be done. So the command is to do it. The catalog is, here's the way we do it. But then look at the conclusion. Miss Courtney's going to come start playing softly. Look at the conclusion, verse number 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The conclusion is this: the glory of God the Father. When we do this, he gets glory. When we do this, he is magnified. When we keep our testimony and we lose our mind to renew it to the mind of Christ, then Christ is exalted. God is exemplified. We don't lose our testimony, and the name of Christ is not hindered. Why? Because we lost our mind for his mind. We gave our thoughts up for his thoughts. It's not what I want. It's what he wants. It's not what I want to say. It's what he wants said. And in doing that, the only way we'll ever accomplish it is by losing our mind. So here's the invitation tonight. Will you lose your mind? Will you lose your... I hope nobody's committed in the morning. I believe you understand what I'm saying. But Josh, we put our mind to the side. We put our feelings... Well, what about my feelings? I never heard Jesus say anything about what about my feelings. He pushed his feelings to the side. He pushed his mind to the side. And the conclusion of it will be Christ will be exalted. Is that not the ultimate goal of our life? For others to see Christ in us? Is that not the ultimate goal? Is so Christ will be exalted in us? How many times, stay with me, I'm done. 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock. How many times do we tell somebody off and we walk off thinking, huh? Boy, they know how I feel right now. I wonder how Christ feels. Especially when it's somebody, everybody still awake just for a minute. Especially when it's somebody we've been trying to witness to and trying to tell them about Christ, Brother Robert, and trying to get them in church, and then all of a sudden we just fly off at them. Well, Miss Rachel, what did we just accomplish? But Brian, what good did we just do? Oh, well, I felt better. What about Christ? What about God? What about the name of Christ? Yeah, you lost your mind all right, but you lost it in the wrong way. We're to lose it to Him. I hope what I'm preaching to you makes sense. We're to lose it to Him. We're to die in Christ with Him. To be raised, that renewing. We're conformed to this world by our birth, but we're renewed in Christ. We're transformed into something new by Him. If we try to do it in ourselves, we'll fail every time. We'll fail every time. Sometimes that we just have to reach up on the desk and pick a mint up and put it in our mouth and pray while we're eating that mint before we say anything. Are you with me? If you'll notice, if you've ever sat in any major talks with me, there's mints laying on my desk. And I have to do that. That way I can try to renew my mind while I'm eating that mint before I say something to Brother Josh that ruins my character, my testimony, the name of Christ more than anything. Father is